Welcome to the Idea Talks, where we discuss big ideas. The Idea Talks is a weekly podcast with Josh Tice and other leaders on big ideas for life, leadership, and ministry. And I'm your co-host, Drew Polvencia. For more information on this podcast, visit ideanetwork.church.
Hey, Drew.
Hey, Josh.
Hey, I got a riddle for you.
All right, I'm down.
Okay, what's purple? You spell it forwards and backwards. It says exactly the same thing. Yeah. It rhymes with orange, and it has teeth.
Forwards and backwards, purple, rhymes with orange, has teeth. I don't know.
I don't know either, but we can talk about the ideas of it.
All right. Got him.
That is a stupid joke.
Hey. It's very in our lane.
It is in our lane. Hey. And so is the Idea Summit.
Very true. For the whole ministry family. Happening January 30th through the February 1st of 2023 in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas.
It's the very first Idea Network event that is a two-night, three-day event. And we're really excited about it. It's not just a day. It's not just a night. It's not just a summit. It is the next level, the zenith, the very pinnacle, the summit of summits. We call it the Idea Summit for the whole ministry family. Now, why for the ministry family, Drew?
Because we want everybody to come.
Yeah.
So we've had many idea days, nights, and summits in the past that really have been geared towards ministry leaders, pastors, and their wives, but hasn't really focused on the entire family.
Yeah, and this time we want you to not only know that your kids are welcome to come, but they're actually encouraged, because paralleled right alongside of the adult conference for ministry leaders, there is a kids conference and a teen conference for each and every one of you. Yeah, they're going to have events, they're going to have parties, they're going to have great opportunities to hear from teachers in those fields, specifically talking to them about what it's like to be in the ministry. What is it like to be a PK? What is it like to have mom and dad in full-time ministry or bivocational ministry? And they're going to love this event.
Now, some highlights for the summit. Our keynote speakers is going to be Dr. Tony Evans. We have Alan Parr, who's popular YouTuber, speaker, preacher of the word. We have Brian Sams and yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to be there as well.
You're going to be there as well.
And you.
I'll be there.
We're going to have a great time there in January 30th, 31st, and February 2nd. You can go up and sign up at ideanetwork.church/summit. Looking forward to seeing you in Dallas.
Welcome to episode 172 of the Idea Talks. On today's episode is a continuation from last week's episode on hypertech separatism and broken families. Today, we're going to be talking about hyper-separatism and the broken kingdom, and how this view of hyper-separatism can actually have a detrimental impact on the overall kingdom of God.
Yeah, one of the great dangers of hyper-separatism is the decline of the kingdom of God, the decline of the global family, the decline of the church. Here's the question we're really wrestling with. Could our nation be in the current state, the current mess that it's in, due to our inability to get along and collaborate with one another? No, really, ask the question. If we say that the answer is not in a president and the answer is not in a political party, well, if the answer is really with the gospel in the church of God, could it be possible that Satan is as active, maybe as active in the church as he is in politics? And could it be possible that he's trying to divide not just the nation, he's trying to divide good Christians from one another? Could it be possible that hyper-separatism is destroying the kingdom of God?
The family of God specifically.
Yeah.
You know, I tell people this as we're traveling. I say that when you got saved, you were born again into the family of God. Now, the family of God in the world, and these are stats, but 2.8 billion people in the world claim the name of Jesus Christ. Now, they're not all saved. You can have all sorts of different debates about that, but 2.8 billion people claim to be part of the kingdom of God. It is estimated by the year 2050 that 3.3 billion people on the planet will claim. It's interesting, during COVID, did you know this? That during COVID, Christianity grew worldwide by 1.7%.
A lot of people claiming the name of Christ when things go different.
That's right. So the the Christianity. Now, you got born into a family. When you got born into your earthly family, you got born into a family that had brothers and sisters. You have uncles and aunts. Every family has strange ducks. I tell people you could be that strange duck, but and maybe you are if you're listening to this. But the fact of the matter is, every family has strange ducks. We don't reject the family because we are somebody in the family because they're a little different than we are.
That is good. The voice you hear today is Dr. David Tice, and this is episode 172. Of the Idea Talks. We're excited about this conversation, but we're also excited about the fact that you are 5 days from Christmas, which is okay, but even more so, you are only about 7 weeks away from a major event. What event's coming up here, Drew?
So we have the Idea Summit coming up at the end of January and the beginning of February. We really want to go and direct your attention to ideanetwork.church/Idea Summit. And I want to give you a little bit of a preview of the summit. So if you've never been to an event like this before, there are 8 tracks you could attend besides these big sessions we have at night. There's a family, youth, children, worship and creative administration, kingdom advancement, spiritual health, and leadership tract that you could possibly attend because they're all simultaneously happening. And you have to pick which of these breakout sessions you want to go to. For the spiritual health track, I just want to highlight one session, and that's going to be led by Dustin Alley. This spiritual health session is called Intentionally Investing in Personal and Spiritual Health. He's going to be talking a lot about growing as a leader and developing a healthy spiritual life in the months of the hills and valleys of your life. This is just a teaser of one of the sessions that's going to be happening at the summit. There are lots of sessions that are going to be happening. We want you to attend with you and your family. And you can go to ideanetwork.church/Idea Summit again to sign up there today.
When you think of some of the speakers like Tony Evans, David Tice, Jack Graham, Alan Parr, Brian Sams, Charity Berkey, David Barton, Robbie Green, Jeremy Ranz, Brent Armstrong, Paul Davis, and I've just named a few, there are over 70 different sessions that are going to be...
It's a lot.
I'm excited, man. Yeah. And I got to tell you, if you haven't registered yet, get to your phone, get to your computer, pull it out, and go ahead and register for the summit coming up. But in this conversation, when we talk about hyper-separatism in the broken kingdom, the summit is there to help ministry leaders rebuild and build the kingdom. But you were talking about the family of God, Dad. And one of the conversations that we have around the Thanksgiving table and the Christmas family time is as you sit and I sit and our wives and Matthew and Neil and John, and we all sit together and Josh, and we talk about these topics. One of the questions that comes up is, what does the Bible actually say about the family of God fighting with each other? I mean, is it even addressed in the New Testament? Does Jesus really talk about the family of God fighting with each other?
John 17, Jesus is speaking to our Father. And it says that they may be one. This is his prayer for us. That they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee. Wow. When my grandkids get together, and I'm relating to that right now because I have 4 grandkids living in my house, and they begin to fuss with one another, I think, I don't care what they're fighting over. I just want there to be peace. And I'll take them and send them into different corners, and then they can come back. But they're going to love one another. That's my desire. He says, Father, that they may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world, now listen, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. When we are not one, the world doesn't believe that God the Father sent Jesus. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. The reason God gives us himself living in us is so that we can be one like him and the Father. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Unless we get this thing worked out, where we're willing to put up with one another's differences and love one another. And again, we're not talking about loving, we're not talking about accepting heresy, heresy. We're talking about learning to love one another. When we don't, if we don't do that, there is no hope for our America or for the world.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Every pastor on this is listening. You've looked at a couple that's fighting and considering divorce. And one of the concerns you have is not just for their family, but for the picture that they are as a married couple of God and man. There is an analogy, a picture that we have in the scripture. And as a pastor, we look and say, look, you are to follow his lead as the church does follow Christ, and you're to love her as Christ loved the church. And you don't want to mess up that beautiful picture of unity between Christ and the church. One of the tragedies of divorce is the marring of the picture of the church and Christ's unity. Here in John chapter 17, even closer than the church and Christ is God the Father and God the Son. And God the Father and God the Son. And the Son says, God, let them be as close as we are. But when you fight against your brother, you are marring the picture of the Trinity. You say, how do you know this? Because Jesus prayed it in his high priestly prayer to the Father. So this idea that I can just not get along with pastors around me, and by the way, some of you are thinking, I don't get along with people of heresy. Well, that's because you've elevated every one of your preferences to the level of heresy. For you, the virgin birth is the same thing as they don't wear what I wear. And you are hurting the kingdom of God. You are disobeying Jesus and marring the picture of the Trinity. Look at what Luke chapter 11, verse 17 says. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. A house divided against itself will fall. This is the words of Jesus, and we wonder why. That's my big question for this episode. We wonder why. What's wrong with our nation? It's politics. Could it be it's not the politicians in Washington, it's the preachers behind the pulpit who will not get along with other Christians?
And I think sometimes why do we have the division? Well, sometimes it's doctrine. I have a good friend, really good friend in town, who's a charismatic pastor.
Yeah.
He is a good
AOG,
guy.
Right? Assembly what? Of God.
Assembly of God, yeah. He good man. I love him. He speaks in tongues. I don't believe that speaking in tongues is right. He knows that. I know what he is. In fact, we kid about the fact that the Pentecostals bring in the feeling and we bring in the organization.
Yeah, that's right. You had him at your
45th anniversary.
45th anniversary service. Yeah.
Wonderful guy. Pray for him every single day. And there's other people that I've now. I don't necessarily say that, hey, we should be having these guys, somebody that doctrinally disagrees with us, even on minor issues, as speakers in our pulpit. But we need to be praying for one another. We need to be uplifting one another. And if there's dividing, division, it's not coming from God. It's coming from Satan. I don't have to. I love something that you did years ago, a good friend of our ministry. You were invited to speak at their ministry, and you said, and you went and spoke. And then you said to him, listen, some of the things that we're going to be doing in our church, you said this to him, some of the things we're going to be doing in our church may cause you problems. And I don't want to cause you problems by coming and speaking here and then them going online and seeing us doing things that might cause you problems. So you need to understand, because I love you, if you don't ever invite me back, I want you to understand I'm your friend, and I understand that.
It's necessary for you to have patience as a ministry leader, understanding the world you live in. If we were to travel back in time 500 years, slavery was a terrible reality of the world. And the scripture is actually written in the midst of the reality of slavery's existence. Now, thank God that good Christians have, over the last 200 years, got to the abolition of slavery. But nonetheless, it was a reality of the world in which they lived. So what did Christians do? They worked within that reality and attempted to live as Christ within it. You live in a reality of hyper-separatism. Do you want it to stop? Of course you do. But be kind in the midst of it, knowing this, that there might be people who separate from you because they know there are thousands of people who will separate from them. You say, well, they shouldn't. I get it. They should not. They are pressured politically to do what they need to do. You need to do what you need to do by doing what you need to do in your local congregation, but being kind and understanding the pressure people are under in denominational political situations.
So the answer is, listen, what do? You do what is right. You do what is right. You love people and you understand people. And when people don't understand you, you don't take the proud spirit. Well, they're just stupid. You take the attitude that, hey, I'm going to love them. I'm going to love everyone. I love something that Candace Cameron Bure, however you say her name, did the other day. She's been ripped apart socially by the Hollywood elite because she went from, she said she moved from the Hallmark Channel to a channel called the Great American Family Channel or something. And she said, I'm going to go there. And she said the reason, or one of the reasons she was going to do that, was because they were going to promote the traditional family values. And she got ripped apart by the LGBTQ community for saying that. And so, and not just from that community, from people who were defending that community. And so she got on social media and she said, for all of you that hate me, I want you to know I love you. For those of you that think that I'm wrong, I want you to know I love you. And I guess about 10 times she said, I love you, I love you, I love you. That isn't just pretend stuff. And I'm not the greatest Candace Cameron Bure. I love it. Any Christian stands for anything.
Drew's a huge Candace Cameron.
Does she? Good.
Correct.
Back in the day, Full House.
Yeah, Full House.
Gotta love it.
Dude, I'm telling you, that was a good show. That's a great show.
So what I'm saying is this. That's the way we respond. We're supposed to love our enemies, and certainly I should love my brother, who differs somewhat, and I can't be part of this thing that divides because somebody doesn't do it exactly the way I do it. I had somebody walk into my office one day and said, how in the world can you have John R. Rice's book right next to John MacArthur's book? And I said, because they both start with J. And that's the way that's lined up alphabetically. I love John R. Rice. I love John MacArthur. Do I agree with everything John R. Rice did? No, but I'm not going to spend my life pointing out. Do I agree with everything John MacArthur preaches? No, I'm not going to spend my life pointing out the negatives. I'm going to focus on the positives, and I'm going to promote my brothers and sisters in Christ.
So let's deal with two different types of person who may be listening to this. The first one might be someone who's a little bit more conservative. And they have maybe more traditional positions that they hold. And they really struggle to remain positive when they see somebody not doing exactly the way they were told to do it. That's the first person. The second person is the one who might be growing in bitterness a little bit because they've been separated from. And they may be considered a little bit more progressive, even though they would not say my theology is progressive. So can we deal with both of those sides? And that'll be this episode. I mean, obviously the kingdom of God is being utterly destroyed by hyper-separatism. We've established that. But what about the individual? Let's talk about that first. Dad, talk about that first person who they're really trying to remain positive, but it really irks them to see that somebody looks a little different and does it differently. And
has a drum set on their thing.
Right, or they have a goatee and they were told they don't. Like, what would you say to that person? Like, how do you tell them to chill out and help them realize you're actually hurting the kingdom, not helping it?
Okay, well, you're talking to somebody who, when people started wearing, when guys in our camp started wearing beards, I thought, what are we doing? Are we really getting carnal? I mean,
had those thoughts.
Yes,
did.
Yes, yeah. I'm telling you, me. Yeah. I looked at some, I thought, wow, you're just looking a little flaky here. And in fact, I looked at a couple of guys that are your age, and I said, look, you just, whatever you're going to do, do it and stay that way, but don't be putting it on and taking it off, putting it on and taking it off, because you're going to look like a flake and you need to be stable. You're listening to a guy who, when the music started getting progressive, I was thinking, wow, or not progressive, when changing, I'm thinking, wow, I can remember. I remember in the 1960s, rock and roll was demonic. I mean, and I believe it was. It was sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That was the cry of my generation, the baby boomers. So you just equate loud music with sex and drugs. So I understand the thinking. The thing is, what you have to do when that happens is you have to say, number one, I'm supposed to rejoice when anybody getting saved. Number two, you have to say, look, is this a cultural thing? Is this something that I'm defensive of because I know where I came from? Is it biblical? Is it Bible? And if it's not Bible, then I have to back up and say, I need to rethink this thing. And it really helps to say, okay, is it Bible? And then also to know the individuals that are really loving the Lord and maybe doing something different than you are. Have a conversation, listen to the conversation, and listen to the heart of the individual. This is not Jeroboam saying, come and worship a golden calf. It's not Jeroboam. And frankly, I used to equate anything that was different than ours to Jeroboam saying, come and worship the same God with a golden calf.
Wow. Wow. Yeah.
But that's not the way it is. And you have to re-look at that.
I love how you deal with specifically those who may have a difficult time understanding cultural change and asking the question, what does the Bible say? Which is the great, great question that was taught to you in Bible college in the 70s and me in Bible college in the late 90s. What does the Bible say? But you might be on the other end of that spectrum, and you've maybe been the result, and you've experienced hyper-separatism, and the reality is people have turned their back on you. You've kind of felt isolated and alone. And if you're not careful, unforgiveness and bitterness can begin to creep into your heart. Here's the danger with that. It's multiple. First is personal, and then second is global. I love how you point back to the Bible and say, what does the Bible say? So somebody who's struggling with a cultural shift needs to go back and say, what does the Bible actually say? Not how do I twist it to fit my cultural narrative? What does the Bible actually say? But maybe you're here today and you've kind of been, I hate to use the word, but a victim of hyper-separatism. And you're struggling with a little bit of anger, maybe frustration, unforgiveness, may I say even bitterness. Here's the problem with being in a position where you do not forgive. Do you remember when Peter was interacting with Jesus and Peter's like, how many times do I have to forgive? And he's like, seven times 70. And then he tells him a story about, in Matthew chapter 18, about a servant who would not forgive somebody, even though the master had forgiven him a great amount. And then the Bible tells us, Jesus says in the story, and Jesus caught the master caught this servant and threw him into prison for the tormentors. And then Jesus says something fascinating. He says to his group, to the people he's speaking to, even so, your heavenly Father, this is not unbelievers, believers, Father, Son, your heavenly Fathers will turn you over to the tormentors. If what? If you allow unforgiveness and bitterness in your heart. So the first one is personal, the second one will be global. The first reason you cannot hold bitterness in your heart is because your heavenly Father will allow bitterness and anger and unforgiveness to torment you.
Isn't that amazing? I believe that is really demonic tormentors that God the Father says, okay, my son needs to know that he needs to forgive. And so you, demons, are allowed to torment him until he comes to me and tells me he's going to forgive.
Wow.
That is absolutely amazing. And you and I know people,
sure,
Christian leaders who are tormented.
Yes.
And they think it's because they can't get other people to change, but it's really because God is trying to get them to change.
So you cannot allow bitterness to take root in your heart for personal reasons. And then I want to end it by saying,
can I say this too?
Yeah.
forgiveness in that story, forgiveness is a perpetual thing. It's forgiving, forgiving, forgiving. It's not just forgiving somebody because you were abused as a child. It's forgiving the person you live with every single day, or the staff member you work alongside of, or the church member that's constantly nipping at your heels. It's that perpetually forgiving. I'm going to learn to perpetually forgive. And because that's what, and then that person that's constantly telling everybody you're really not a fundamentalist, perpetually forgiving them because Satan knows how to throw those things at you continually.
So there's a personal reason why you should not allow unforgiveness and bitterness to grow. There's also a global reason. And just as hyper-separatism is holding back the kingdom of God in a demonic way, could it be possible that collective bitterness is halting the progress of the kingdom of God as well? Yes. Yes, because I will not want to maintain or regain a relationship with a brother in Christ or work toward restoration with a brother or sister in Christ because I won't forgive them. And all of this, Satan stands back and laughs as the kingdom of God corrupts and falls apart and crumbles in our world. And then we all sit back collectively and blame politics.
Let me use a carnal illustration. When I was a kid, I used to love the first Star Trek. I loved Captain Kirk and Spock and the whole deal. There's an episode where a group of Klingons are beamed aboard the USS Enterprise, and they begin, they're supposed to try and get along with each other, but they fight with each other, and they fight with each other, and they do not realize that there is a little circular demon thing that's causing them to hate each other, and they just get to a point where they're about to blow up the Enterprise and kill each other when they realize, wait a minute, the Klingons are different than us, but who's causing the fight? The cause was this little circular alien deal that's affecting both of them, and as they begin to laugh at that one and begin to unify together, that alien being had to flee. I know it's totally carnal, and I know it's
a great
totally,
illustration.
But it is. I think Gene Roddenberry at least got that.
Yeah.
If he got nothing else, he got that. We don't need to be working towards our pointing. It destroys. It'll destroy the Enterprise. It'll destroy us. It's destroying the kingdom for us to constantly nitpick with each other over things that are of not of major significance.
So in this three-part series, episode 171 dealt with hyper-separatism and broken families. 172, today's episode dealt with hyper-separatism and broken kingdom. Next week, we are going to be talking about hyper-separatism and the broken spirit and how this hyper-separatism is not only destroying the kingdom, churches, and families, it's really destroying the individual child of God. We're going to talk about that next week, December 27th.
Thanks so much for listening to today's Idea Talks. If you would like to reach out to us, drop us an email at joshtice@ideanetwork.church. If you benefited from this podcast, we ask that you take a moment to show your support by subscribing, rating, and reviewing the podcast on iTunes. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you right here again at the Idea Talks podcast.